This is the SB Live Washington Podcast, your weekly conversation about high school sports and the people who play them across the Evergreen State. I'm Andy Bueller, reporter with SB Live. And with me is the dynamic duo that makes the trio. We have the host of the ISO Podcast with SB Live Sports and the Believe Podcast Network, Dan Dickow. Also here is the prodigal son of Tacoma, your pal and mine, the prodigal son of Tacoma and Ocean Shores, Washington, I should say. That is Todd Millis. Gents, I'm really excited for today's episode. We'll get into it in a second, but how are you guys doing?
I'm great. You know, I'm kind of on a little bit of a family time over this next few days after kind of wrapping up some AAU summer basketball for my son, which ended very well in Beaverton. I was proud of the group that I coached. It's been fun following all the other Washington-based teams that are playing in different areas. Most of them are playing during this third weekend of evaluations coming up. Lots of great stories from those teams with kids that were maybe overlooked now getting offers, and some of the kids that were kind of on the fence really kind of showing just how good they are. So it's been a really fun week to kind of follow some more developments with high school basketball throughout the state.
Yeah, Andy, you know this about high school sports. There's really no true downtime, but this is sort of, if we have a lull period, this is kind of it for us. But a lot of recruiting stuff is broken. It's been, you know, I'm trying to take some downtime. I'm trying to take some vacation. Yeah, you're right. I'm at the ocean. I don't want to be ever referred to as the prodigal son of Ocean Shores, Washington.
What would be wrong with that?
Many more people that deserve that title over me. But if you, I'll take the Tacoma one and still run with it. But not Ocean Shores, man.
Well, Todd, I got to say, I'd love to fill a podcast someday with stories you have from Ocean Shores. Because for the listener, we went golfing at Ocean Shores yesterday, and Todd has a tale or two about some legendary folks that have come through that course. And you know, just like his encyclopedic knowledge of Tacoma area, Pierce County sports history, that extends to the ocean as well. So, and to your point, Dan, absolutely. These live eval periods, we're really excited to jump back into that. We really enjoyed talking about that last week. And the hardest part about it is we named 10 kids, 10 names of really impressive standout performers, 5 boys, 5 girls. We could record 100 of those episodes and not reach the bottom of that well. So we're going to do that again next week. For the listener, tweet at us. He's at Dan Dickow 21. I'm at Andy Bueller. And Todd is at Many Hats Millis. If there's somebody that you feel like deserves mentioning or has had a really, really great July in AAU hoops, please let us know, because we're going to dive back into that next week. Really excited to do so. But today, we have a really special episode today. Legendary announcer Vance Dawson joined us. We just wrapped up recording before the three of us jumped on. For those who don't know him, he's synonymous with the WIA State Tournament at the Tacoma Dome as the announcer. He's synonymous with the crossover. You know, he's got his hands in a lot of different things and has seen some of the best basketball to come through the state of Washington since he started there in the late 80s, including you, Dan. And so for those who listen to this interview, what bums me out is he might have given some of his best stuff when we stopped recording. So we're going to have him back, but really looking forward to you guys all hearing that interview you know, just the importance of a great announcer. I mean, it's just the reception he gets from you know, great athletes he's covered over the years, including you, Dan, just now, you know, speaks volumes.
You know, I didn't realize that when I popped into that Zoom late, because I'm down here with some family time, that you weren't recording. He had some great one-liners, just as you kind of alluded to, about things that he's kind of got in his back pocket or quote unquote folders in his iPhone ready to go while he's announcing. I've heard numerous stories or comments from people about what he does at the crossover, that how unique it is. I remember back with myself playing in the Portland Pro-Am, there was an announcer very similar to Vance that would kind of get going and make comments on certain plays or jokes about certain players that really kind of livened up the crowd and got them going for better or for worse. And 99% of the time it was for better. But yeah, I'm looking forward to hearing the part of the conversation that I was not involved in as well.
Absolutely. And we'll jump to that. But before we do, things are still a-churning at SB Live. As Todd said, there may be a little lull in high school sports not being played right now in competition, but there's still plenty to cover, and we've managed to keep ourselves busy. Todd, I got to say, you are not very good at taking vacation. I'll just put you on blast for that. In that vein, we'll start with you, Todd. Is there anything that you have put out there that people can find on the website, scorebooklive.com/Washington or the SB Live Sports app that you want to direct listeners to?
Yeah, like I mentioned, you know, the one piece of news that we get a stream of breaking commitments on the recruiting front, both with football and basketball this time of year, especially players going into their senior year. And the one that I wanted to kind of point out, it seems to be sort of the summer of small school commitments with Keith Olsen at Napa Vine going to USC. And then a young man that I wasn't real familiar with, but he's committed to Oregon State. His name is Takari Hickel. He's a defensive lineman at Tenino High School. And one of his early influences in sports or just athletics in general was he was a barrel racer. And he tells a great story about how he snuck on his sister's horse at 4 or 5 years old and was riding around in the pasture and his mom freaking out. And that, lo and behold, he survived that. And really that was sort of the start of his horse racing, barrel racing career. He's done it at fairgrounds and in Oregon and Washington and shows and rodeos and things like that. And to hear him just sort of talk about how that's helped him with football as a pass rusher was pretty fascinating.
Absolutely. Takari Hickel is his name, again, from Tenino. I'm going to link that story in the show notes. Dan, you've got the ISO humming along with 2 episodes a week. Subscribe wherever you get podcasts. Is there an episode either published or upcoming that you want to direct listeners to?
Yeah, I had Damon Stoudemire, 1996 NBA Rookie of the Year. Tremendous, I think, 14-year NBA career. I grew up in the Portland area, kind of looking up to him as that group right in front of me age-wise that kind of really learned from watching him and was driven by, hey, if he can make it, he's from this area, maybe I can do the same. And we obviously got to know each other a little bit while I was in college, and then in the pros we were teammates. And I think he's done a tremendous job kind of growing a coaching career. And I didn't realize just how his coaching career started. And he kind of broke it down to me, you know, in our conversation on the ISO, how he got into coaching and then how it's grown from there. And now he has left Pacific University and he's an assistant coach with the Boston Celtics. So that was a really good episode, just talking about a lot of just basketball things. Right now, there's a number of guys that I'm working on fine-tuning when we're going to record. Seth Davis from CBS Sports, who's part of the Selection Sunday show. He and I texted just earlier today trying to find a time in the near future. Stan Johnson, the head coach of Loyola Marymount, to name a couple that we're trying to work on, just dialing in times. You know, it's one of those things where I'm able to get a lot of these coaches out of season where maybe they're not so in tune to the grind of watching film, preparing for practice, that, you know, maybe they let their guard down a little bit and talk about a few things. So, you know, we've got a couple ones that I mentioned are in the works. There are some other coaches that we had on the podcast a year or so ago that have said they'd like to come on again if possible. So I'm going to be reaching out to some of those guys. And I think the nice part about that is, like I mentioned, they kind of have their guard down. You know, they're out of COVID, where that was a big topic of discussion a year ago with the ISO of, hey, how is your team dealing with COVID? Now we can get into more of some of the philosophy stuff, the memory stuff, the philosophy and the experiences of basketball that have shaped them. So I'm really excited to see the guests that I can kind of schedule out over the next couple of months in the ISO. It should be a lot of fun for me, and hopefully it is for the listeners.
Well, I'm excited for that as well, Dan. And that Damon Sotomayor episode, which I will link in the show notes for the listener. If you want to listen to that, just scroll down to the notes and click through. But great episode. I mean, I grew up in Portland as well, and some of my most formative basketball fan memories were watching him play for the Blazers. And yeah, some great untold stories there too about some runs at Clark College. So you'll only find that on the ISO.
Clark College, as well as the Portland Pro-Am. And for anybody who is from the Portland area, the Portland Pro-Am is running again at Park Rose. It's taken a few years off just based on organization and leadership of somebody running it. But those Portland Pro-Am years for me at the Salvation Army or PCC Cascade right off of Killingsworth were huge for my growth and development as a player. It was the first time I really got to play against guys like Damon Stoudemire, Terrell Brandon, other guys that were currently playing in the NBA or overseas. And as a young player, got to test myself and learn that I belonged. And some of those guys have become, you know, maybe not necessarily close friends, but friends to this day that, you know, I can talk with, I can pick them up and pick up the phone and give them a call and ask them for some help with something or a thought in the game of basketball. You know, those were instrumental times for me. And so for Damon to kind of talk about that Pro-Am was a lot of fun to hear.
No question. Certainly a lot of respect earned there. And speaking of Pro-Ams, we've got the voice of the Seattle Pro-Am, the crossover coming up next. His name is Vance Dawson. We're going to get to him after the break. I want to take a moment to tell you about something really exciting for high school sports fans across the country. SB Live Sports has launched a free iPhone and Android app featuring the latest high school sports news here in Washington and across the country. With the SB Live Sports app, it's now even easier to follow your favorite team and tailor your experience to your interests. With real-time scores and news alerts, as well as video highlights, podcasts, photo galleries, rankings, game coverage, and much more, the app delivers on the content you want in one convenient place. The SB Live Sports app features exclusive content from on-the-ground reporters across the country, and it's the number one source for Washington high school sports fans, with coverage from reporters Todd Millis, myself, Andy Bueller, as well as SB Live's preeminent basketball mind and recruiting expert Dan Dickow. The SB Live Sports app is available at no charge in the Apple App Store and Google Play Store. Download it today. All right, we're back and very pleased to welcome on our next guest, announcer extraordinaire, encyclopedia of Washington High School basketball state tournament knowledge, as well as some great events across this state that he's gotten to see. And that's Vance Dawson. Vance, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Well, so for those who don't know you, give us a little background on everything you're involved in. You know, I think, you know, depending on who's listening, we're a high school sports podcast, so, you know, maybe people have their familiarity with you is at the state tournament, but you have your hands in a lot of different pots. Set the scene for us. What all are you involved in from an announcing standpoint on a year-to-year basis?
I do the Federal Way Boys, the Tacoma Community College men's and women's program, done both state tournament and TCC since 05 and 06, Federal Way since 08. And I've done the crossover for 10 years for Jamal Crawford. And I'm, like I said, I get called in here and there for various tournaments when I'm available, or holiday tournaments, whether it be a Franklin, Garfield, Rainier Beach, they'll call me and, you know, ask me if I'm available. And if I am, I'll go do it. So I don't really have, as far as the Metro League, anytime you've seen me there, I'm just helping out, you know, or I've been asked specifically for, which is a pretty humbling, you know, that they want me. So.
How did you get into broadcasting?
How did I get into broadcasting the games?
Yeah. I mean, was it something? Was it something from a young age that you?
I actually went to the National Broadcasting School. It's now defunct. I'd spent some time in 91 and 92. I was on the air at KFOX Radio. And I just have always, always loved basketball and the announcing and all that stuff. But how I got my start in this was at an MLK tournament in 05. And I asked, where did you get that person? So Steve Turcotte said, can you do better? I said, oh, yeah. but I'd never done the game before. So, that could have went bad, but I can't even remember who the person was, and I don't know why I would have said something like that, because I most certainly wouldn't now, but I did three games, as I said, and got lucky after three games and was asked to the state tournament, like I said, and then some things transpired where the Tacoma Community College gentleman went to go do Pac-12 baseball. And so they needed somebody and I just stayed. And the Federal Way announcer had been the announcer from 1963 to 2008 before passing away. So that's how I got that. And Rashad Powell helped me get the crossover. And like I said, the Metro League, that just kind of, ADs, the word just kind of spread. Hey, maybe you want this guy. And it's very, like I said, it's just humbling that I get asked this stuff, because I mean, anybody can sit behind the mic, So.
Why do you think your catchphrases resonate with people, Vance?
Why do I think my catchphrases resonate with people? I would say because they've heard of it. And what I try to do when I got into this, I wanted to make sure that I wanted to be different than everybody. And that doesn't mean better. That just means different. So when I said something, I tried my best that I can, that whatever I say falls in line with just what just happened. You're not going to yell "down goes Frazier" on a finger roll. It just doesn't work, So, I think that my catchphrases resonate because people can relate to them, or they've saw that movie, or they know that song lyric or something. Cause I take it from everywhere and I try to how can I fit it in to a game? I actually have to have them on my phone. I have so many of them now from 16 years, and it's like, I'll stop at a red light and go, oh, that's good or something, And I think I got to put it in my phone. Cause at 55 years old, I don't remember them like I used to. But I think they resonate with people because they've heard of them, or like I said, if I use something from you've seen the movie Friday. So if I call an alley-oop top flight security of the world, because you've seen it, So I think that's why.
Love it. No, you make the game fun. You make the game relatable. I want to take a step back a little bit because you have seen a lot of state tournament games, and there have been a lot of great players that have come through this state. We've talked about it, countless times on the podcast. Early pandemic, I remember Dick Al Todd and I put our brains together and came up with a bracket of 64 of the best high school basketball players this state has seen, and it sure drummed up plenty of conversation. But I'm wondering, from your perspective, is there any one player or any one team that stands out to you above the rest?
Yeah, I would have to say that the 2016 Nathan Hale team was incredible. Now, I say that knowing that my squad also went undefeated that year. of course, no disrespect to my Eagles, but, there's two guys from the Federal Way team in the league, and there's one guy from the Nathan Hale team in the league. So, but I will say that the Michael Porter Jr. team, they just were incredible. They really were. And that was, I did a couple of their games during the season, and they were fun. They were good. They were good.
No question. And you've got the best seat in the house to watch it. One of the things that strikes me about your career is, especially in your work on the high school level, is you're catching these guys at a really formative age. And that's one of the best parts of high school basketball is, especially at the top of the top in this state is, hey, where might this guy go? As you just mentioned, Michael Porter Jr. now playing for the Nuggets, and both the McDaniels brothers in the league. But that must be special from your perspective too, especially being so closely associated with, you know, one team in Federal Way and just, you know, different games, big stage games that you've covered. You know, those players remember the ins and outs of those games. Have you had the experience of guys coming back to you later on in their adult life who played on a big stage or who were a part of a special run, remembering you and appreciating and recognizing, you know, what you brought to, you know, the memory making of their youth high school career?
I have, whether it's been a tweet from them, but one of the tweets that I got that it wasn't directed towards me, but I was tagged in it. A couple years back, Paulo Banqueros made a tweet that there is nothing like the Tacoma Dome on a Friday night with Vance on the mic. I mean, how do you get better than that? You know, I mean, I see some of these guys at the crossover, the Jalen Noels and the, you know, and they, you know, come up with a, you know, a handshake and a half hug, and they do remember, you know, and it's, they'll say, I remember when you said this about me or something. It's like, you know, cause I would have thought like, who would remember me? I'm going to work on Monday. I'm nobody, you know, I do what I can for 2 hours to try to make the game as fun as I can for people. And, you know, it's just, you know, but yeah, I have had some come back, you know, and they say, it's like, I'll never forget, or they'll go, you gave me this nickname or something. And, you know, and it's pretty cool when they do that and they remember, you know. I definitely don't do it for that, but you know.
Well, in the last couple of days, you highlighted a tweet from Kyrie Irving, just calling you a legend.
I my jaw dropped, Todd. I'm telling you, there was a video of him at the crossover, and I said, "Oh, I remember being on the I was on the mic for that." And, you know, like I said, since day one, I've said, you know, boom time. Then I say something after that, you know, for the dunk. But I remember that. And I wasn't looking for an answer. I just was remembering I was on the mic when he said that. I was just so like, wow, you know, because, again, you know, if he remembered me, why would he remember me? You know, it's like, it's just, this is just, it's all very, very surreal that, you know, that I'm still kind of tripping off of that one, you know, that he did that. He took the time to do that, you know.
You have countless stories that I want to dive into. But now that we're on the crossover, for those who don't know, is a Seattle Pro-Am that's put on by Jamal Crawford. It came back this summer after a year off from the pandemic. It's played at Seattle Pacific and has brought, you know, just a murderer's row of some of the top NBA talent through Seattle, and interweaving with some of Seattle's and the greater Seattle area's best talent as well. For those who haven't been to a Seattle Pro-Am, what makes it so special?
I would say that the time and effort that Jamal has put into making sure that people from the league show up, the special guests, the if you had never been, and maybe somebody was your favorite player in high school, but he's overseas, he's on a team, he comes back and you get to see the, you know, some of the guys that are making the money overseas, and, you know, but you really like them in high school, you know. And I remember sometimes you just never know, you know. So there was one time I remember Spencer Hawes showed up with Mason Plumlee. Didn't even tell Jamal, I don't think, you know, I mean, he showed up with Mason Plumlee. I was like, hey, that's Mason Plumlee. You know, so I was like, you know, it's, I think it's the surprises. And I think Seattle's love of basketball, you know, just really helps to make it, you know, the event that it is, you know. And you have, you know, people that are, and then they'll put some high school players in there. They'll put some, there's a lot of really good players in there. You know, whether they've made it or not, they do the best they can to make the teams even as they can, you know. But I think it's the you know, the quality of basketball and the people that show up and the special guests, and, you know, and it's one of those crossovers, one of those you should just go because you don't know, you know. You know, it's like I said, I mean, Mason Plumlee just showed up. You know, there's been others, you know. So I think that's what makes it the event that it is.
You know, and you know, one of the other parts about that is that obviously you have these, Jamal and players like Mason Plumlee, like you said, and guys, former NBA players and active NBA players who, you know, are coming and showcasing their talent. And maybe it means a little bit something different than, the high schooler that's going in and playing against these guys. Who are some of the most exciting high schoolers that you've seen that have just brought a different energy and really hung in with those guys?
Obviously, Paulo Banchero, Corey Kispert came down and just was not intimidated and just killed and was flushing and punching on people. And there's been him, Jalen Noel, you know, did well when he was in there. Been doing it for 10 years, I got to think. Those are the top. Michael Porter showed up once and gave him 48 while in high school. There's a few people. Pierre Crockrell Jr. did pretty good down there. Kevin Porter when he was in there, baby boy. They was, you know, just because they're pros now, they put in work while in high school and handled business. They did. They were not intimidated. They, you know, which is probably why they're where they're at now, you know.
No question. I mean, the theme I sense from the guys who have shined the best in high school is a lot of those guys you name went on to and have gone on to do great things and play professionally. And Paulo obviously is on his way. I think that's, you know, people talk about Seattle hoop culture all the time and how unique the city of Seattle is in that way. Where, you know, you have, guys like Jamal now who has kind of assumed the mantle of the godfather in a way of the guy who's going to nurture and bring up the next generation. And if you ask Jamal, he talks about guys, when he was coming up who were setting that tone as well and who he looked up to. And did you grow up, speaking of Seattle hoop culture, did you grow up, a big Sonics fan? Like, what were your most formative childhood basketball memories?
I was a big Sonics fan. I was a Dr. J fan, too, more so than a Sixers fan, but I was a Dr. J fan. But I stayed home from school in ninth grade at Totem Junior High School and for the parade when they won the championship. I was, Freddie Brown, DJ Gus, Slick Watts. I was a big Sonics fan from – probably the early 70s, once I realized that, hey, this is the team from my state, at 7 or 8 years old, and just realized what they were doing. But yeah, I've always been a big Sonics fan. Can't wait for him to come back.
You also made public that, the Kevin Durant event was scheduled to come last year, didn't work out, but it is going to be at Garfield High School next December. To kind of kick off the basketball season. I know you've been asked to be part of that. How honored are you to be selected to kind of be the voice of that particular event? And especially, Kevin Durant, I mean, he's still so popular in Seattle with his early career with the Sonics.
Well, yes, I was very honored to have that because that I was doing a Garfield game when I got asked that. I was doing the Garfield Seattle prep game that went to double overtime when the Garfield AD, Miss Lynch, asked me to do that. And that was a while back, and I just kind of remembered once I saw, the schedule get put up, I kind of thought, oh, yeah, that's right. I was asked to do that. But they could have got anybody. That's the thing about what I do is they could get anybody, And it's very humbling when you're asked or when you're chosen, because they could get anybody. There's – every school has their own announcer. For the most part, there's some that don't and need more help than others, and that's where we all will step in. But they could have asked anybody, and they asked me. So I just it's like I said, I'm very honored that they think so highly of what I do to want me to be the one that kicks that off and do all the games.
Well, I want to dive into a story we were talking about before we started recording, and that's how you went about and got your first opportunity to call a high school state tournament. I believe the names Isaiah Thomas and Mark McLaughlin were invoked, but tell the listener, just give them some insight into how you did get that first opportunity.
I was working at the Mountain Mist Bottled Water, and I was noticing that some of these tournaments didn't have any water. So I said, hey, I went up, you know, met Turcotte, and I said, hey, would you be okay with us, my company sponsoring this? And so I put a water cooler at each bench, and, you know, for the kids and cups, and I'm in there and I'm listening, and I can't remember who it was, but I went to Steve Turcotte and I was like, yo, where'd you get them? You know, and then he said, could you do better? And I said to him, I said, let me watch you one game and then I'll take it from there. When to talk, you know, stuff like that. So I watched him. I did the next game. He asked me if I wanted to do a second game. Then he asked me if I wanted to do a third game. And then I said, am I doing the next one? He goes, no, that's the gentleman that's coming in there. So I just asked him, how do I get into the state tournament? I've been going to the state tournament for years. You know, you pay for parking, pay for a program, buy some food, buy your ticket. You're $70 in and you haven't seen a jumper yet. You know, so I thought, man, how do I get in there? You know, so Steve Turcotte tells me, well, that's the guy that's in charge of the state tournament right there, Al Rasmussen. You know, so when I asked him, I said, Mr. Rasmussen, I said, I just did these games. I was wondering, how do you get into the state tournament? I was told you're the gentleman to talk to. And he said, yes, I like what I heard. I was sitting behind you those last three games. I could use you down there. And like I said, little did he know, he'd hired somebody with three games experience for the state tournament. So when those lights hit me at 7 o'clock on Friday night, and it was Isaiah Thomas on one side and Mark McLaughlin on the other, I kind of went, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I just paused for a second because I was intimidated. Like I said, I thought I was ready, but I wasn't, you know. So like then 16 years later, you know, it took me about a quarter to get into it. But 16 years later, I'm, you know, lucky enough to still sit there. Which led to the other jobs.
No question. Let that be a lesson to anybody out there to bet on yourself. You certainly did back then, and it paid off in the long run.
Yeah, I'd like to think it did. Yeah, I appreciate that compliment. Yeah, that's probably about what I did. Yeah, I bet on myself. Yes, sir.
Vance, you and Andy and I are kind of in a similar position. We get to go to games and get paid for it, to watch basketball games or cover basketball games. You kind of come across as a guy that would do it just for the love of the game. Is there a fair characterization in that?
100%, absolutely.
I mean, it's nice to get paid. I mean, no, don't get me wrong, but just your passion, sort of the cross-reference of broadcasting and basketball. I mean, can you explain that at all?
Yeah, no, it definitely is something that I would do for free because, as you said, at the state tournament, best seat in the house, you know, you're right there, you know. That's just something that I love. And as I've gotten better at, the love increased, you know, to do this to where I would do this for free. It's just, like I said, I love it so much. I really do, you know. I guess it is kind of what you guys do. Like you said, I mean, you report on what you see. I just have to say what I see, you know? So, I've followed you guys, since I found you on Twitter. You know, I enjoy that, you know, your stories and how you break the game down and whatnot. And, you know, that you're, when you can't find a score, you guys are normally there, you know? So that's what I enjoy about what you guys do.
Do you have a long-term goal? Is there something down the road, an appointment, an event that you have your eye on that you'd like to do before you finish?
Long-term dream goal. Hopefully the right person hears me and I get put on SportsCenter. You know, no, I think that would be something amazing for me. You know, I mean, just the right person hears me and you never know where it goes.
Well, I hope the right person is listening to this podcast. I hope the right person is listening to the crossover or any of the various events that you cover. That WIA state tournament, whether it's at the Tacoma Dome or elsewhere, that stage is something that throughout the pandemic, Todd and I are sitting here covering high school sports, you know, when they're not, there are no high school sports. And then when they return, covering high school sports at the breakneck pace that they were all played at this spring. And one thing we kept saying over and over and over again was, man, I wish there was a state tournament. And so we're really looking forward. I'll speak for both of us, but I'm really looking forward to getting back to that stage. And then, of course, seeing you there and hearing the way that you impact that event. So Vance, I really appreciate your time today. It's been great talking with you, great getting to know you, and we hope to do it again down the road.
Wow, I appreciate you having me. Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
This podcast is brought to you by SB Live Washington and SB Live Sports, your national hub for high school sports news and information. Subscribe for free wherever you get podcasts. If you do it on Apple Podcasts, please leave us a rating and a review to help us best serve you, the listener. You can find our website at scorebooklive.com/Washington. There you'll see news, features, highlights, podcasts, and everything in the world of high school sports across this state. As always, a big shout out to our sponsor, Washington Federal. Thanks to Dan Dickow and Todd Millis for bringing the heat every week. This song you're hearing is by the band Woodrow. It's called So Far Away. It's written by James Schroeder, Carl Johnson, and my dad, Matt Bueller. I'm Andy Bueller. We'll be back next week.